Welcome to the Occasional Barista. My name is Chris, and today we're going to be talking about what is going on inside my head when I'm buying a bag of coffee. Now, I can tell you right now, it's five questions, and it's the same five questions I would ask my customers, aka you guys, when you came into the store looking to buy a bag of coffee, okay? It is pretty simple, really. It's, what are you buying for? What equipment do you use? What do you normally drink? What process do you want? And when are you going to drink it? Okay, it's those five questions. And I'm going to quickly break them down. I'm going to try to keep this short. So step one, what are you buying for? Personally, I always use filter at home. I have a lot of different equipment, probably too much equipment. But when I make myself a coffee on a daily basis, I'm using a filtered process, whether that's through a V60 or my Chemex, or a Kalita Wave, normally it's a filtered coffee. Therefore, I'm looking more for a coffee that's gonna be medium to light roast. Depending on what you brew at home is gonna change how dark or how light you want your coffee to be roasted. Now, a lot of bags of coffee nowadays don't put dark, medium, and light. And that's because we're trying to stray away from darkly roasted coffee. The only reason why is because it's not a proper and it's not an accurate description anymore. Most coffee should be roasted medium to light for the most optimum flavor. Now, it doesn't mean that you should never drink dark roasted coffee. Some people really enjoy that and everyone's taste is different. All I'm saying is the things that you now have to look for, of course, is going to be the roasters themselves. Different roasters have different roast profiles. And that is going to change how they are going to roast their coffee slash how you, as the drinker, as the customer, are going to taste. An Ethiopian from one roaster is going to taste different to you than an Ethiopian roasted from a different roaster. It's just how it works. And it's because there's different farms, different regions, and the process themselves, some of them get left in the roaster for a little too long than others. That's pretty much all it is. Now, in regards to you as a customer, if you're not using a pour over technique or even a drip coffee machine and you're using an espresso machine, maybe you might want something a little darker because you in the morning don't necessarily want some super bright acidic shot if you're not kind of used to that. Therefore, talk to the baristas behind the bar. I'm sure they'll help you out. If they look a little busy, you're looking behind you and you're really not trying to stop that long line, then the steps that you can take is start looking into different regions. Probably sticking with a South American coffee for the most part is probably not going to steer you too far away. It's going to be a lot of approachable and a lot of easy to drink, very balanced coffees coming from South America that normally you're going to be okay with. And I'm not saying every South American coffee, there's no South American coffee basically that's not exciting, but I am saying for the most part, majority of roasters in specialty coffee are going to roast medium to light. If you're going to have to stick to something that's a little darker, sticking with a Colombian coffee or even a coffee that comes from Mexico or a coffee, some Guatemalans or Brazils are going to be very kind to you. And if you're going for a more filtered coffee, really the world's your oyster. You can go for anything really from any African region or country, I should say, to any really South American coffee based off of where you're at in your path or journey in specialty coffee. It really depends on you. Now, the next question that you got to ask yourself now is, what equipment do you use? So it's going to change. When I say equipment, I'm talking about grinders, specifically grinders. So if you have a grinder, but you have an espresso machine, and your grinder really isn't suitable for grinding up that fine to an espresso grade quality, then you know what? You're probably going to have to ask the baristas behind the bar to grind it for you. And in our previous podcast, four baristas, including myself, have talked about that issue though. It's 100% okay. We do it for you every time. But you need to give us as much information as possible in order for us to make an informed decision on how small we should be grinding it for you. It goes the same way for if you don't have a grinder for filtered processes such as pour overs. If you tell us exactly which pour over you use, whether it's like a V60 or a Chemex or a Kalita Wave or there's now Phoenix 70, X70s, if you tell us exactly which one you use, chances are we probably have the same one as you and we could probably tell you exactly what grind size you need and we can grind it up for you. It's about giving us as much information as possible. And this is purely for pre-grounded coffee. If you have a grinder at home that can grind to your specific needs in regards to the fineness or coarseness, then always go whole bean. It's going to keep your beans fresher. It's going to keep them tasting better. And that's what really we're in the business for here. Question three. What do you normally drink? This is a great question because this can really tell a lot about yourself. If you're somebody who's a really big fan, for example, of lattes, I like flavored lattes. I like drinks that don't really taste with that strong coffee taste or coffees that, as a lot of people say, acidic or sour, then you should be sticking again with coffees that come more from the South American region. Now again, doesn't mean those South American coffees, when they're roasted medium to light, are not going to have some acidic or more sour notes. But that doesn't mean it's the worst thing in the world. Because normally, if the roasters are doing its job, and you as an occasional barista are doing your part, and you're constantly fiddling with the recipe, exploring the different tastes from that coffee, I think you're going to really enjoy it. And you're going to reach a nice balance. Even as the top baristas in the world, we're searching for balance. It's the same with gastronomy. It's the same as beer. It's the same as wine. You really want a balanced flavor experience. And you need to finally, you know, if you're being a barista at home, you're going to have to actually take that step and start messing with your recipes. It's tons of fun. That's why we get on, like pretty much a lot of us get hooked on this business, because we like messing around with the recipes. Taking mental notes. You don't even need to write it down. Mental notes. I put this amount of coffee in with this much water, and this is what it turned out. If you have an automatic machine, it's going to be even easier for you to kind of fiddle with your recipe. Maybe put a little less coffee in, maybe a little more, but that's really going to tell you a lot about what you normally drink and what you're trying to achieve at home. So let's say you're doing Americano and still more watered down. Okay, maybe you can start experimenting more with a little bit more brighter noted coffee, maybe a lot more single origin like African regions. That's going to be really great for you. You could probably stray away, whether you're drinking and you prefer lattes or you prefer Americanos or espresso. Single origin is always a really fantastic choice. Blends are great if you want just something that's, you know, it's going to taste like every day. But at the same time, stepping outside of that comfort zone is really going to change your outlook on coffee. And you're going to, trust me, you're going to have a way better experience every morning. Moving on to question four. What process do you want? Now, I could talk all day about processes. I actually recorded a 44-minute episode before this trying to describe the same exact questions I'm talking about right now. This is the shorter version, surprisingly. But we go into a little bit more detail. After talking and saying it out loud, I'm going to even cut it down from the other pre-recorded version. It's going to be three processes that I'm going to help focus on right now, because it's going to keep as simplest as possible and the ones that you're going to see more often than not. That is washed, honey, and natural. There are different types of honey processes, but we're going to stick to just the overall category honey process. And I'm not going to go into necessarily what each process is, like the actual literal physical process. I'm going to go into more what that means as a buyer and what you're going to taste. So the best way to describe it is the process is going to be a textural thing. And I always say textural, it still changes and affects flavor. However, it's going to be the vehicle that's going to deliver that flavor. For example, a washed process is going to be like drinking a flavored tea, okay? And it doesn't mean you can't change it to taste a little bit thicker, or you can't brew it to make it taste a little bit stronger. However, when a lot of people think of a wash process, many of times baristas will brew that for you very much more tea-like, just because the actual coffee itself went through a washed process. What that means for you, and why I say it's a more of a vehicle of flavor, is you're gonna get notes that a lot of people describe as clean, crisp, okay, light, or tea-like. And the reason why is because the difference of each process, in the best way I could describe it to you, is if you were to go bite, okay, into, let's say, a strawberry, you're gonna taste a strawberry note. If you go and eat like strawberry jam, it's texturally different. It's a different strawberry flavor than just a plain strawberry. However, texturally, it's going to be leaps and bounds different, okay? However, if I were to ask you, what does that strawberry jam taste like? You're probably still gonna say strawberry. If I give you strawberry juice, you're probably still gonna say that juice tastes like strawberry. That's perfect. If you can understand that, then you can easily understand the next time you look at a washed honey or natural process. Moving on to honey process. That is probably gonna be a little bit thicker than a washed, okay? And that is based off of, there's different types of honey processes, okay? There's white, yellow, red, black, gold. There's different levels of intensity going from washed to almost natural. The only thing you need to know is if it's white or yellow honey and they go that specific, just know it's gonna taste a little bit more, okay, than a wash process texturally. It's gonna be a little thicker. It's not gonna be as tea-like. If you go, though, to a red or black honey process, it's going to be closer to a natural, which we're getting to, but natural. It's gonna probably have more jam-like flavors, a little bit stronger of a flavor, not as tea-like, okay? Moving on to finally natural process. Natural process is going to be what some people even put on bags as chewy. Again, chewy. You guys are hearing that correctly, and you guys probably saw correctly. Chewy. Chewy is not a flavor. It is a texture. And it's a great texture, I might add, because it's going to help you understand what you're tasting and how you're tasting it. It's going to have that jammy, a little bit more, I hate this word really, viscous, okay? And again, it's like word moist for me, I said in the other recording, but it's like moist, and I'm like, oh, viscous. But it perfectly describes it. It's going to be texturally a little bit thicker. And as a result, your flavors that you're gonna taste are going to be different than a wash. You're not going to be hearing things like clean and crisp normally when you describe a natural process. You might describe things as, again, a little bit thicker. It might be more syrupy. Doesn't mean it's like pouring out, you know, like Canadian maple syrup on pancakes. That's way too thick. You know, you're drinking something else at that point, but it's going to be thicker. And that is in regards to processes. What do you want and what process do you want? That's what you're gonna be looking for on a bag. Now, that's totally up to you. And just because you might not like a thicker texture, when I say it's a thicker texture, doesn't mean you shouldn't buy it. You got to challenge yourself and try it before you say you just don't like something, because if you just say, oh man, this random kid just said, hey, it tastes like syrup, or it's a little bit thicker and I can't stand my syrup on pancakes, I'm more of a butter guy. Well, guess what? Then you're closing yourself off from a variety, like hundreds of different coffees that could have been way better than the wash that you keep sticking to. That's vice versa. When I first had my natural process, I wanted the biggest natural process kick of my life. couldn't find myself drinking anything else besides a natural process. However, taste preferences change. And I'm glad taste preferences change, and now I try to keep them changing, so I'm constantly trying something new and trying something excited. Always push yourselves, and I promise you, you know what, you might stumble a couple of times, but like anything else, if you keep with it, you keep challenging yourself, you eventually will reach what we're all trying to reach as an occasional barista, that golden cup of coffee, your favorite cup of coffee. And guess what? The next coffee later down the line is going to replace that one, but that's the beauty of it. Moving on to our final question. When are you going to drink it? This is super simple. We check roast dates. Roast dates are super, super simple in the sense that, hey, this is the date it was roasted. Now, you might go into the store and you might see a coffee that says, wow, this coffee's 2 weeks old. That doesn't mean it's bad and it doesn't mean it's stale. Actually, in many ways, that coffee's reached its prime time of flavor for the most part of you drinking it in regards to its degassing period. It's a rule of thumb. It is not by any means law. 2 weeks is normally the time that we start really seeing full flavor coming out of these beans that were roasted. It's reached a point of degassing and started its back. I'm talking about whole beans now, not pre-ground. Whole beans where it's really reaching its max peak. It's like a bell curve. You're finally reaching the tippy top of the flavor. Now, a lot of shops, I'm not saying all shops, but some shops will actually withhold the beans from customers until it reaches at least a week. That's so people don't go buy a bag of beans that they don't realize is just been roasted the day before, throwing it inside their coffee maker and being really shocked when they realize, wow, this is pretty acidic because it's been degassing so much and it hasn't degassed enough and it's degassing once all that water hits it. So they have a really bad experience. Coffee shops are smart, and they're realizing customers have been coming back complaining, hey, man, this bag of beans is horrible. And we found out that they've been trying it way too soon. We challenged them to go brew it, wait a couple weeks, and boom, they come back finding out it's super enjoyable. Like anything else, okay, I personally believe that the beans should be available to customers as soon as it's roasted for one reason only. If you're listening to this podcast, people are starting to realize, hey, and taking the time to better understand coffee, just like you are listening to this podcast. And that's great. That means UE can offer those beans up so the customers can really start seeing the difference of, wow, this is a coffee that I'm going to brew just out of curiosity right now. It's before the 2 week time period. Who cares? Brew it. I say brew it. See how it tastes. Write down either, again, mental notes in your head or on a piece of paper next to the bag or even on the bag itself. Write down what you taste. Wait 2 weeks. Brew it again. Exactly the same way. I promise you the coffee will probably taste better. And again, you'll start to realize, wow, okay, so that's why they sometimes withheld it. However, like me, when I brew coffee and I buy a bag, I'm probably only the person who's going to drink it. I'm not saying I don't have people who would drink coffee. I sometimes host, but for the most part, the coffee's only going to me. I'm one person. I can't really take out a full bag within what I presume like the peak time of flavor for these bags. And I know I don't freeze my coffee and I don't put it in airtight sealed packages just because, honestly, it could be just because I'm lazy, but you could definitely try certain of those methods to kind of preserve your coffee. I find I get through my coffee perfectly if I start trying the coffee a little bit earlier, but personally, I love riding that roller coaster of flavor, constantly jotting down notes and really just seeing how much coffee can change. I think that's the most exciting about coffee for me. But doesn't mean you guys have to be the same person and you're going to brew way different and be on different time frames than I am right now. So when you're going to drink it, personally, I always try to buy bags when they're roasted as soon as possible, just because I know what to expect going into it if it's before the 2 week time frame. Or I personally wouldn't probably buy a bag if it's past a month. Personally, I think that's a bit too long of a time. And really, to give people a better chance, like, shops really shouldn't be selling, you know, bags that are like past a month old. Doesn't mean it's bad coffee. I'm just saying you're not giving customers a chance to fully ride that roller coaster flavor that I think is the most exciting part. Once you start tapering off from that, like 3 to 4 weeks, it's going to just start getting mellower and mellower and mellower and mellower until you taste like nothing else. But if you do the right preservation techniques of preserving and keeping the air out, you can preserve that coffee. I've had coffees that are over a year old because the person I knew was just experimenting with different preservation techniques, and we found some that really did a good job at preserving majority of the flavor. However, if you can, try to get it as freshly as possible. Overall, those are the 5 questions. Please follow us on Instagram. If you have any other questions about this episode or anything else in regards to coffee, please comment or DM the Occasional Barista. I am on there and I will be able to answer any of your questions or do the best that I can to at least point you in the right direction. As always, please stay safe out there right now. And again, I can't wait for the day that, you know, I'll randomly stumble into you guys in a coffee shop and we could enjoy and sit down without wearing a mask. Looking forward to it. Until then, everyone, keep pushing yourselves out there in the coffee world and have a great rest of your day.